Finding the right cleat can be transformative. Believe me, I've worn plenty during my career. So getting the right balance is crucial. The cleat needs to feel good on your foot, but also feel good connecting with the ball. The New Balance Furon 7 Plus is built with both of those points in mind, offering overall comfort and precise striking in the game's fastest moments. Because, as I learned the hard way, because I didn't possess much of it, speed matters in soccer. That's why the Furon 7 Plus is built for accuracy and precision at rapid pace, and is engineered specifically for use on firm ground. Why is this the ideal cleat, I hear you ask? Well, not to get too scientific, but the Furon 7 Plus offers a lightweight yet supportive hypo-knit with mesh lining upper construction and is paired with offset lacing for a truer strike of the ball, which is a long way of me saying that your game will immediately get better when these are on your feet. Learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Hey, it's Lisa Carlin from Attacking Third to tell you about the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. It's equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend. The Hyundai Santa Fe features available all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, plus available dual wireless charging pads, ensuring that you can take on any adventure. It's ski season, and with the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, I can easily load the car with all my gear, plus my friends in the third row, and make it right to the base of the slopes with all-wheel drive. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Hey everyone, welcome into Attacking Third. I'm Sandra Herrera, lead NWSL writer for CBS Sports. Joined today, as always, by my colleague and co-host Lisa Roman, broadcaster and analyst for CBS Sports. We're chatting all things news and notes on today's episode. So, quick reminder to leave us a rating and review on your favorite podcast platform. We're also on YouTube. Subscribe to us at youtube.com/attackingthird to get all sorts of exclusive content, preview, recaps, interviews, all right here on A3. Paramount Plus is your home for the 2023 NWSL season. Paramount Plus is giving away one free month to kickstart you for the NWSL season. So make sure you use the promo code NWSL2023. That's NWSL2023 for one free month. We're back at it, Lisa. We're going nearly every day this week.
It's good to see you again. It is great to see you as well. It's good to be live on YouTube. I mean, we're back in season, Sandra. This is what you expected. We're live nearly every day. It's fantastic. But this time it's a little different. We get to chat about the latest and the greatest around the world of women's football and the news. There's a lot that has happened. We only really do these like once a week. So there's a lot we got to catch up on. Of course, if it's breaking news, we go live. That's why we're always live. But it is always good to be here. Good morning. How's it going with you, bud?
It's a state of being, state of mind, being live, me and you, pal. I'm good this morning. Listen, I love when we get the opportunity to do a little bit of breaking. Shout out to everyone who joined us the other day, literally yesterday at the time of this recording. We were chatting all things United States Women's National Team roster drop. We'll touch a little bit on that again today, but I think we're going to kick off this news segment chatting a little bit more about opening weekend across NWSL, because there's a lot of different little fun tidbits, I think, that are finally coming out once they you've been a few days removed from opening weekend. And we really, I think, have to start with some of the record-breaking attendance that took place across matches in NWSL. Over 90,000 fans attending the six matches during opening weekend. Lots of numbers to go through here for specific clubs, maybe starting with San Diego Wave. Over 30,000 in attendance, 854 folks, too many numbers in the stands for that opening match against Chicago Red Stars. So they really, I think, are the biggest number in that one. But there were some great numbers coming out of a couple other areas here.
Yeah, I mean, it's truly fantastic that over 90,000 of you all bought tickets, showed up, supported your teams, were loud, made posters and tifos, and sang along with the chants. And of course, I mean, San Diego, as you just said, they are the one that announced they were going to break records even before or late last week, before games even got kicked off. But Angel City, they also had a home opener sellout over 22,000 at BMO Stadium in Los Angeles. And then Washington Spirit, they are a club that's playing all of their home games at Audi Field this year, which is a massive improvement from last year and years prior. And they had their biggest season home opener at Audi Field, 11,281 fans showing up in DC to cheer on the Washington Spirit. And Washington Spirit got the win at home over OL Reign at this point. I think when you look at that, like the fact that those fans showed up for the Washington Spirit and they end up getting the win, like you make a difference, fans. When you go to a game and you make a difference, it shows. So that's fantastic. I mean, I hope these numbers continue to grow. To do more and more and more. I think that a lot of the individual clubs are doing a lot to promote themselves within their communities. And that's how this league grows. That's how this game grows. But it really gives me chills to know that over 90,000 fans across the six games. That's fantastic. I hope it only goes up from here.
No, it was cool. It was cool to see because it was something that was already – it was something ahead of opening weekend that was already being highlighted.
Yeah.
I remember in our previous News and Notes episode, we chatted a bit about Commissioner Berman's sort of, address of the league, state of the league, just ahead of opening weekend. And one of the bullet points that was sort of highlighted out of that press conference was that they were anticipating breaking some records across opening weekend. And we're noting three of the six specific games, right? And I think the other side of that coin, though, is maybe talking a little bit about attendance in the other areas in which the matches were held. Maybe not as high of attendance when you're looking at a number like 30K in San Diego. And then if you're looking at maybe some of the other matches that took place over the weekend, if you're looking at comparing that to something like North Carolina, where I believe it was around like 4K, that kind of tapers, I think, the average off a little bit, right? But it's interesting to sort of look at that for a second. And I mean, watching that opening game between the Courage and Kansas City and listening to reaction post-game, chatting with a player like Gayol about the lone game winning goal and their perspective. This is a Danish international and sort of referring to a crowd of 4,000 as like a massive showing. When you're sort of, I think, looking at different perspectives on things, this is an international player who's played in Europe and said like, oh, it's great to see so many people in the stands. And then there's a part of you that's like, well, just wait till you get to San Diego, or just wait till you get to Angel City, or wait till you get to Audi Field, right? So I think if you're looking at Courage, if you're looking at Dash, maybe that number seems over or underwhelming, excuse me. And I'm curious about what attendance is going to look like in week two, because it's not going to be opening weekend. But it is going to be the home openers for some of the clubs that kicked off their regular season on the road. So we haven't maybe seen similar numbers coming out of somewhere like Chicago, or we haven't seen similar numbers coming out of somewhere like the New Jersey, New York metro area, right? A market that they are very bullish on. I mean, the league just moved offices back into into New York, right? Touting their offices on Madison Avenue. They really want to have a presence in that sports market. So we'll see. I think these are the type of games, I think, if you're those clubs, you want to target in terms of pushing your tickets and pushing attendance. So we'll find out quickly how that's going to look in week two. But you got to celebrate the wins when you get them. And this is, I think, massive for the team, or for the league and those teams coming out of opening weekend. But numbers and the turnstiles, you know, weren't the only thing that I think where there was the biggest sort of thing coming out of opening weekend. I mean, there were a lot of individual records that were set as well, I think, for players and some kind of cool, maybe like unofficial stat type of things coming out of opening weekend. Let's start with Lauren Barnes, because she's been around for a while in this league with OL Reign. She extends the record for most NWSL regular season appearances with 190 appearances, just shy of 200. And it's only opening weekend. I have to imagine that she's going to go past 200 appearances in the 2023 regular season. Portland Thorns becoming the first time in NWSL history to record 100 regular season wins. That also makes a sense when you're looking at the team and how long they've been around. One of the inaugural teams in NWSL since their founding in 2013. Racing Louisville, we saw, made a little bit of a record. The first time in NWSL history to field players from six continents. That was pretty cool to see.
Massive. I mean, this is really cool. I mean, you just talked about Lou Barnes. That's one that I think people realize she's been around a long time, but she has not only been around, but been a consistent figure in the NWSL since 2013. Because not only 190 appearances, 186 starts for this player, and her minute count is incredibly high. Basically, it makes her the most experienced player in NWSL history because she leads everyone in appearances, starts, and minutes. Like, are you kidding me? That's incredible. And she hasn't skipped a beat. That's the best part about it. She looks almost as great as she did when she first started in 2013. But with Racing Louisville having all field players from six different continents, like, that is something that I saw that across social media when Louisville was playing. And I was like, this is fantastic. Abby Erceg, Rebecca Holloway, Ari Borges, Wang Shuang, Yutana Kanu, Ellie Pikishyamis from Finland, and then five American starters as well. So not only were they on the team and on the roster, but on the field for Kim Bjorkegren and Racing Louisville. There's also a lot of chitter chatter about Alyssa Thompson, as there should be, the number one draft pick out of high school. She went to Angel City in LA, and she gets an opening goal for Angel City in just the 11th minute of play. So Thompson is dubbed with the start. She then gets the opening goal for Angel City, making her the fourth youngest player to score in the NWSL. That's behind Jaden Shaw, Ellie Carpenter, and Olivia Moultrie. But she does it in just the 11th minute of the game in her professional debut. Like, does it get any better than that?
No, I hear you. I'm curious if maybe there's like a sub record within this where it's like, yeah, she's the fourth youngest to score in an NWSL match.
But is she the quickest?
But is she the quickest? Is she the youngest player to score the goal the quickest, right? There's all these, like, I'm sure Angel City's going to want to, like, claim that.
I don't know because Jaden Shaw, when did she score after making her debut?
It was against Chicago Red Stars, and I believe it was in the first half. So I don't know if it was in the opening 11 minutes. So I'm sure somebody can stat check us for sure and help us along the way see where that's at. But I think being the fourth, right, is kind of interesting a little bit. If we want to, like, touch on that for a couple more seconds, it's wild to sort of take a look at the landscape of player rosters across NWSL and sort of see how they've shifted a little bit. And as we entered the 2023 season, some of the new things that we were excited about or highlighted ahead of the opening weekend was something like the under 18 mechanism that now exists, that didn't exist prior to someone like Olivia Moultrie and her entry into the league had to ultimately go to court to play within the league. And so now there is an under 18 mechanism that exists. But this is just in 2021. So just to see in, like, the short span of a couple seasons, how there are multiple younger players in the league, but under 18 players who have been signed. We didn't see a Chloe Ricketts or a Melanie Barcenas, you know, make appearances across opening weekend, but naturally their head coaches are you know, they want to make sure that these very, very young players mm-hmm. get acclimated to life as a professional in a slow and careful way. But we did see Alyssa Thompson and she did score that goal. And the fact that it's a fourth, it made me kind of like smile a little bit because I'm just like, yeah there have been a ton of mostly lives. There's already been a handful of young players to have, you know, scored a goal in NWSL before her. So I would imagine. Oh, see, look, shout out to Lucy in the live in the chat. Shaw's goal was at 27 minutes, almost exactly. So yeah, Angel City, they're gonna want to claim that as well. Not only she's the fourth youngest, but the fourth youngest to score
the fastest. Hey, every record counts.
We're just out here helping to boost up all the unofficial stats for players out there. Sophia Smith is back. We did not get a chance to see Sophia Smith in the first two international camps with the United States women's national team. She was held out as a precaution. It was a little bit of a lingering and nagging foot issue, but she seems great now. Back in opening weekend, became the first player to score in three consecutive NWSL season openers. That's a stat. I like that for sure. Welcome back, Sophia Smith, the 2022 NWSL MVP, and Lynn Williams scoring her first NWSL goal since October 2021 in her debut with Gotham on Sunday. She currently ranks third in the league's all-time scoring list behind Christine Sinclair with 59 goals and Sam Kerr with 77. It's a little bit of a leap there.
And Lynn Williams with 58. So she's right on the tail of Sink at 59 goals. Yeah. But yeah, then there's Sam Kerr with 77 goals. Hey, you never know. But massive for Lynn Williams. She also does this, scoring the game-winning goal for Gotham, her new club, while her entire arm is in a brace, essentially. Oh, so we find out at the end of the game, shout out to the commentators on this one. I believe it was Jackie Oatley and Lori Lindsay, but asking Lynn Williams after the game, hey, we saw you get your arm wrapped up. What the heck happened? And she talks about how she goes up early in the game for a header and ends up landing a little bit funky on her elbow. Yeah. So instead of course, checking out of the game, why would that ever happen? She just runs to the sideline and gets an entire bent arm splint taped from wrist to shoulder on her arm. So then she's running the whole time with like a right degree in her arm, a right degree bent elbow, and she ends up scoring this goal. Incredible. And then this ends up being Gotham's first win since July of last year. So heck of a way to start the year for Gotham, for Lynn Williams making her return and doing it all in style.
Outrageous, honestly, to hear her sort of post games. You only need your leg. I only need my legs for soccer.
Seriously,
like, I was just like, that's a wild athlete mentality. Looking like kind of like gingerbread kind of man.
Yes,
like as scoring that kind of goal, but. Listen, if Lynn Williams, if this is just like the beginning sign, like early signs of Lynn Williams sort of showing her form, I think she's going to chase somebody like a Christine Sinclair, I think, for that, you know, she's at 58 and Sinclair's at 59 in terms of the league's all scoring list. And that'll be something to keep an eye on for sure, because if she's already scoring, back to scoring with the national team, and clearly getting off to a quick scoring start for club in Gotham FC, I would imagine Lynn Williams might have some more in her in the next week coming up.
Even Golden Boot race at this point, like that's something that I am excited and kind of keeping my eye on. We got Mallory Swanson scoring goals in the opening weekend, Alex Morgan, Trinity Rodman, and Lynn Williams. I think those are top contenders in my mind for a Golden Boot this year. But I love how at the end of the year, the last like between like July and October, we get people that just go on incredible tears with scoring goals. So that's what makes it all the more fun.
Yeah, 100%. I think Lynn Williams is absolutely going to contend for that kind of stuff. We did all kinds of way too early sort of prediction things, both on Attacking Third and on CBSSports.com. And I absolutely have Lynn Williams down for like a Golden Boot watch. Would love to see it. This is a great start for her. Some other news across the league, though, maybe not so much opening weekend related, but Nicole Baxter put a very heartfelt and touching announcement out on her social. She's announced her retirement, stepping away from the game. And we wish her the best in her post-retirement career. And something that we did touch on out of opening weekend, but we want to highlight a little bit more out of Houston Dash, is the absence of Shea Groom for the team, at least for perhaps of the first half of the season. Announced that she tore her MCL a couple weeks ago and was unavailable to play because of that in opening weekend, and is likely to miss an extended period of time for the team moving forward. And Angel City and Orlando Pride announcing a trade as well. We got to touch on that. Angel City have acquired $70,000 in allocation money from Orlando Pride for an international spot. And what does it mean? Lisa, what does it mean? That's where we're at. We saw that drop officially the other day, right around the time the United States Women's National Team April roster dropped. And there's no real indication of if those two things are connected, because let's be real, we saw a lot of the paperwork must have got held up at the league office, because we've seen a lot of things sort of drop just ahead of opening weekend, right around when those rosters were supposed to be finalized. And still even now, the Monday or so after opening weekend. So I'm wondering if this is just something that got held up, or if it is, you know, something that is going to lead to a different move for either team, because there's two pieces here, right? Angel City have $70,000 in allocation money. What are they going to use that for? And now Orlando Pride has an additional international slot. What do the Pride, have plans for that? I'm a little curious to see when the next shoe will drop and what it'll look like.
Yeah. In the chat, some people asking clarification, traded what for what? So it's $70,000 in allocation money going from Orlando Pride to Angel City, and an international roster spot going to Orlando Pride. And yeah, there's a lot of speculation around this about what this means. But I'm going to be honest, we've been very wrong in the past. Remember when Orlando gathered all that money and we were like, Davinia's going to the Pride? Yeah, that did not happen. Davinia went to Kansas City. But the rumors here, I guess, I'm just going to be blunt about it, is that because the United States Women's National Team has named Julie Ertz back into the mix for these April friendlies, and she's been named to the roster the first time since July 2021 that Ertz is back in the international mix after the Tokyo Olympics. She then gave birth to her and Zach's first son. She hasn't reported for club duties. Her rights have been traded. She's been a free agent in the league. And now that she's back on the U.S. roster, Vlach Wenonofsky wants her training with a club team. So there has been confirmation from Julie and from Vlacko that she is in communication with a team or teams about joining their roster, joining their training for the season. That way she can be a contender for the U.S. Women's National Team World Cup roster. And as soon as that news dropped and was announced, then we hear light of this trade between Orlando and Angel City, that Angel City now has $70,000 in allocation money that they will use, hopefully, towards a player's salary. That's what it's there for. And Julie Ertz definitely has a price tag on her. So, I mean, 2 + 2 = 4 sometimes, but sometimes it doesn't at all equal 4. So we'll see kind of if you're reading between the lines here, does this mean Julie Ertz is going to Angel City? We have no idea. We have actually no idea, but that was where her rights were initially traded 2 years ago, from Chicago to Angel City, but she never signed a contract with the Los Angeles team. From my understanding, she never really showed up to practice or do anything. She was doing a lot. She was on maternity leave. She was starting a family. But now that she wants to get back into club training, is she going to put her boots on and lace them up in Los Angeles? I'm not so sure yet. We'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. I think what we can rule out is I think we could rule out like international kind of clubs. I think if Julie Ertz is coming back this close to a World Cup, she's going to play stateside. I know it's fun to speculate that kind of stuff. But I just don't see that happening in this type of, type of season. What it means, you know, for a player to have strong club play, in the buildup to a World Cup, especially with the United States Women's National Team. So, you know, where she's going to land, I think is going to is going to be on people's radar for quite some time until it finally gets announced.
I think a lot of teams would be happy to have her.
Yeah, I'm sure. But speaking frankly or bluntly, I just don't think there's enough teams out there that can actually afford her. I think there are teams out there right now with more money than other clubs. And I think that there are other clubs out there that are willing to make that type of move than some others. I think big picture, it's like the perception is like, oh, it's Julie Ertz and she's looking for a club. Like, yeah, all 12 clubs should be at that table if she's a free agent, right? But I just don't think that that's a reality for certain.
Yeah, the price tag's big and it should be.
Well, I mean, I'm not too sure. I mean, I think there's a number of things that probably are going to come into play for a player like this. Like, it really just comes down, and that's the beauty of free agency, right? It's going to come down to a number of different factors for players. Maybe it's going to be a balance of things. Maybe it's going to the balance of a price tag, the balance of location, the balance of facility, resources, et cetera, et cetera. And I would even argue that there are some teams with the better of those things than other clubs in the league. You know, there are some teams that still don't have their own dedicated practice or training facilities or, you know, things like that. And some other clubs do have that, you know, so I think there's going to be, rightfully, perhaps a bidding war in some capacity for somebody like Ertz. I mean, and I think it's really cool to sort of know that we have a first ever free agency to kind of look at as an example. And everything that we heard coming out from players who landed in new spots in free agency took a number of things into consideration. Like, we heard from Akola Prico going to San Diego that looking for a change, yes, a change in environment, a change of scenery, a change in, you know, just a mix up for her current development, that she wanted different type of perhaps style of play or coaching or other avenues of development for her moving forward. And someone like Dabinia saying that, like, I want to be in a place where there's a contending team and there's lots of great facilities. And that's why she chose Kansas City. There's a lot of different factors, I think, that come into play for the individual when they're, you know, looking for a new club. And we'll see. I would venture to say that, like, if people are looking at this move specifically between Angel City and Orlando and saying, like, maybe this is going to be it, who knows? Maybe it is. But there's more than one California team out there. And there's more than one team out there that does have certain amount of resources or so to sort of offer in their pitch to a player. So it's funny how we've gone from the cycle moves so quickly, right? And we've gone now from, oh my God, like, Julie Ertz is making a comeback and she's on listed on a roster. And now we've sort of pivoted out of that to club watch. Who she's going to sign for and where she's
signing with.
Mm-hmm. So that's something that we'll obviously keep chatting about.
And when we'll see her. I mean, I'm going to be honest. My mind is already like, okay, she's going to sign with a team, most likely in the NWSL. We don't think she's going international at this point. And now I'm like, okay, when are we going to see her play? Of course, we'll see her in the international break with the U.S. team. But when are we going to see her for club on the pitch in competition? That's what I want to say.
Yeah, we'll see. Who knows? We'll probably have to go live again when that drops.
Julia has stepped onto the field.
Yeah, we're just gonna be live. We're just gonna be live and talking about it. And we've got more to chat about. So stick with us right after a quick break.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right. Saturday on CBS, the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship road to the Final Four reaches its final destination in Houston. Coverage of the semifinal games begins at 3 Eastern at the Final Four and the Final Four show, all leading up to tip-off at 6 when Florida Atlantic faces San Diego State, followed by Miami clashing with UConn. The NCAA Men's Final Four National Semifinals Saturday on CBS. Make sure you listen to I on College Basketball Podcast. The Final Four: FAU, San Diego State, Miami, UConn, with hosts Gary Parrish and Matt Norlander. Previews, news, and nightly recaps all from the scenes. Lisa Marquette didn't make it to the Final Four, but
Sandra, what are you doing?
I thought
we were friends.
It's still exciting. Are you going to watch?
Yes, of course I'm watching. But you have to bring up Marquette at a time.
I do, because you know what? I'm hurt about it too.
Devastating.
I'm thrilled for the Final Four. Who have made it this far.
It's awesome. FAU, San Diego State, Miami, UConn. So we still get a Big East team in there in UConn. But listen, download, follow to Ion College Basketball. Gary and Matt got you covered. Previews, recaps, news, everything. They're going live from the Final Four to recap everything. So if you miss a game or you want all your recaps, definitely listen to Ion College Basketball. They do a great job over there. But yes, I will be watching. I'm all into the basketball right now. It's like the best sports couple of weeks because we get MLS, we've got Super League, we've got NWSL starting, and we've got March Madness men's and women's that are just going off right now. It's very fun.
Oh yeah, I'm here for it. I know I'm gonna tune in to all of them as much as I can. It's madness, but now it's Final Four. Shout out to South Carolina, Iowa, LSU, Virginia Tech for women's NCAA basketball. The Final Four kicking off for them as well on Friday, March the 31st. So we're gonna tune in. We're gonna tune into all of it. I'm gonna be a little sad when it's over.
I know.
To go from such a frantic sort of tournament, and then all of a sudden, boom. It's over. Goodbye. Farewell. Mm-hmm. But we'll stay in touch. We'll stay in touch. You'll be back next year and we'll see each other once more. Let's get back to soccer though. Let's chat a little bit more about international things. Maybe we touched on the first half of this episode on some NWSL news and notes, tidbits, but now we want to pivot across the globe a little bit, chat about some things in other cool places. The Lionesses, let's talk about some news here. Manager Serena Wigman announced that the Euro 2022 player of the tournament, Beth Mead, is likely to miss the 2023 Women's World Cup due to her ACL injury. Beth Mead sustained that a few months back, and it was devastating when it happened then. It's still devastating now to think about such a prolific player for the program who might not make it back in time to go to a World Cup. And I think that's where we're at, I think, for a lot of national team programs, right? We just spent a lot of time the other day talking about this roster drop for the United States Women's National Team, and there's also injury updates that have to happen there. For example, chatting about a player like Katarina Macario, a player that we've heard is coming back for a little, while now. And that timeline has been pushed back, I think, for a third time now. First we heard March, then we heard April, now May. And so when we're looking at across the globe, player like Beth Mead, it's a pretty big loss and very sad. The Lionesses have not looked like a team that are going to, dwell on that type of loss. They've been in ridiculous form since last year, really, and even before that.
It hurts them, but it's still, I think it's the team that we see right now with England. It's almost like they're going to use this as fuel to step up in other areas and make sure they fill that hole that Mead leaves. Really pretty sad coming from Wigman, the manager of the Lionesses, basically saying that the ACL injury and the recovery is taking a little bit longer than they hoped and expected, and that Mead would basically need a miracle to be fit enough to play in the tournament. And it's this time right now. We're just 3 months out, 2.5 months out from the start of the World Cup, and now we're starting to see either announcements of players return, Julie Urtillo we just talked about, and then otherwise it's like the recovery isn't as fast as we thought it was going to be, and maybe we hoped it would be for some certain players. It's really devastating to hear, especially like the confirmation, right, that Bessie will not be going to the World Cup is sad, very sad.
Well, I mean, maybe let's chat a little bit about comebacks, you know, in that aspect. So it's like, I think when you hear sort of the back and forth, you have a player, a athlete brain is going to tell you, like, I'm going to try to work my way back as quick as I can and as fast as I can. And maybe you have those conversations as a coaching staff with your player to say, like, hey, listen, let's put some things in reality and to check here for a little bit. But someone on their return to play protocols and their return to the pitch is Ballon d'Or winner Alexia Putellas. She is back and training with Barcelona for the first time since her injury in July. So we're getting to see some touches on the ball, some, you know, simple footage, I think, out of some of the training. Again, you don't want to go too hard or too quickly when you're working your way back from that type of injury. But I think if you're Barcelona, you're thrilled to have the greatest player right now back in the mix.
Yeah, completely. And this is a little bit ahead of schedule. We just talked about how sometimes it can take longer than expected, but other times if recovery is going great, the player is feeling strong and healthy and fit, they can get back a little quicker maybe than originally predicted. And that's really the case here with Putellas getting back onto the pitch. This was Monday. This was happening and really fantastic to see. I think Spanish fans, international fans are very, very happy about this. Of course, Barca fans, but in terms of the World Cup and what this means for Spain, this is a big thing for them. I mean, I think we talked about it before when looking at the World Cup and who's going to be big contenders, and it was kind of like, hey, Spain's dealing with a lot of injuries. They have a lot of loss right now that they've suffered. They might not be the top powerhouse that a lot of fans predicted they would be during the 2023 World Cup just because of all these injuries they've faced. But this is massive step to get back Putellas in training with club. And it'll be a year since her injury when the World Cup starts. So definitely promising to see a player like that get back on the pitch and back in competition with her club team.
Yeah. We'll see if this is the first step. If and what it means for bigger things. I think it's an important note that you bring up about the national team. You know, the other thing that we've been chatting about alongside some national team programs in the build-up to the World Cup is the unfortunate scenario that still exists for many of these clubs where there is ongoing disputes between players and their federations. And Spain is one of those programs that has been dealing with that. Part of the, there were 15 players, prominent starting type of players who issued an email to the federation in the hopes of engaging in positive dialogue. And that got turned around on them by their federation. So Putellas has been someone who's just sort of been more focused on her rehabilitation and return back to the pitch. So it's great that she's back with club, but I'm with you. I'm very curious about what the next steps are going to mean for this type of player and the federation moving forward. We'll keep an eye on that for sure. Let's pivot to Women's Super League though, because I'm excited to chat about FAWSL because it's getting close. It's tight. It's a four-way race right now for the title. And I feel like the last time we did an update on the Barclay Women's Super League, there was already somebody in number one. And now we're switching it up again. Man United is on top of the standings. They've got goal differential in front of Manchester City. So Man United, Man City, 1 and 2, respectively, each with 38 points. And the tiebreakers are coming into play now, folks. And that's important to take a look at. But Chelsea dropping to third in this one, 1 point behind United and City.
Yeah, but Chelsea has a game in hand over United and City. It is so tight. It is so exciting to watch right now. Between everything that's happened last weekend, Manchester City defeated Chelsea 2-0, and that's really what propelled City a bit higher in the standings, getting ahead of Chelsea. And after that game, Gareth Taylor basically saying that if City didn't win that match over Chelsea, Chelsea was going to just run away with the Super League. So it's providing a lot of interesting and intense matchups in the Super League, which every single football fan is here for. This is what you want. You want a top four finish and a title race between the top contenders, because as it sits, the top four in the standings right now, number four, Arsenal at 35 points, and they've only played 15 matches. Chelsea also only played 15 matches. They're number three, but they have 37 points. And then in first and second, Manchester United first, Manchester City second, both with 38 points. But as Sandra mentioned, goal differential gives Manchester United the edge and puts them in that number one spot. But the fact that Chelsea is only 1 point off from the top of the table makes it that much more exciting. And then Arsenal at 35 points sitting in that fourth spot. There's a lot of exciting things coming up in the Super League. And we get match day 17. So we're nearing the end of only 22 match days. Another matchup, Arsenal-Man City plays this Sunday. That's something I am very, very excited to watch. That's going to be a big game and a battle for points at the top of the table.
Absolutely. Keep an eye on it. I also just love some of the individual like performances that are kind of shattering narratives as well. I mean, if we're just coming off of like a match week for Women's Super League and Chelsea's now sitting in number three because they couldn't get that win over Manchester City, right? A 2-0 loss in that. And neither Sam Kerr or Bunny Shaw scoring in a game like that. You know, I'm loving it. You know, shout out to Angel Dahl and Hemp for getting the goals for Man City in that one. But I'm also just like, that's the other thing too. It's like as the four-way kind of race for the top gets narrower and narrower, there's also like those really cool individual moments within these matches as well. So going to be interesting to see how things roll out for Women's Super League in this weekend, coming up weekend. I mean, Arsenal and Manchester City have a game against each other, and that could have some implications, right? Like you said. But I mean, Aston Villa is also number five, right?
In the rankings,
in the standings right now. And while maybe they're looked at as like some real long shots, I mean, they could definitely play spoiler for somebody like a Chelsea. So we'll see. It's going to be
also the Golden Boot race comes into play at this point. You just mentioned Bunny Shaw not getting a goal last weekend for Man City, which is uncharacteristic. She still leads the way, 15 goals, but Rachel Daly, 13 goals. She's coming off a brace. That's another race that I'm looking at between who's going to get the most goals coming up at the end of it. At the end of this, it's a great time. If you haven't been watching the Super League, now's the time. Turn it on. You can catch the games on Paramount Plus. The matches are back this weekend. It's early morning, Saturday and Sunday, but they are entertaining and great to watch.
Yeah. Check them out. Select matches all across. I mean, CBS Sports Network, Paramount Plus. You can find them. Tune in when you can. Let's stay in Europe though. Let's keep it on the international news here. UWSL is coming up. Listen, after you're done watching us, go get ready to watch the second leg of the quarterfinals, because that is happening Wednesday today. And you could see Barcelona and Roma. You could see Arsenal and Bayern. You could see Wolfsburg and PSG and Chelsea and Lyon. We might see the end of some Champions League runs here for some of the clubs. Let's have some fun with this. Who do you think might come out of these matches, Lisa?
Oh, this is a good one. I'm rooting for Barcelona against Roma. It was a 1-0 draw in the first leg of the quarterfinal, but I'm looking for them to advance in this one. That's the first match too that kicks off today, 1:00 Eastern, 12:45 Eastern, excuse me. So that's one that I'm really watching for. But what about you, Sandra? Which is
I think one of the games to watch is actually tomorrow on Thursday. Mm-hmm. So Wednesday's going to be Barcelona and Roma, Arsenal and Bayern for Wednesday's matches, and then Thursday we'll have Wolfsburg, PSG, Chelsea and Lyon. So I think for today, I'll go the opposite match. I'm going to keep an eye on Arsenal and Bayern, just because I think there's a path here. There's a path here in this current setup to where there's potentially room for an all English Champions League final. And I just think that Europe would combust if that happens. So I would love to see it. So I need the Gunners. I need the Gunners to go ahead and do the thing. Massive. And try to get out of the second leg in advance. And then Thursday, I need the Chelsea to make sure that they continue to do that as well. So
yeah, well, they're at home. Arsenal's at home in this second leg. So hey, they got the crowd behind them for this one.
Yeah, no, it's wishful thinking on my part. Bayern is a good team, but we'll see. I love anything can happen at this stage, and who knows? Maybe I don't know if there's room to see minutes from somebody like a Kat Macario for Lyon. I know it's, and we've got a really cool graphic if you're joining us on live, and it's featuring Macario as well. But we'll see. If May is really the timeline for this player, might not see the minutes, but if it's just about getting some brief minutes, maybe we will. But something I think U.S. fans are going to keep an eye on, along with Lindsey Horan getting potentially a start for Lyon as well. So that's not it for the international news. We actually have a little bit more that we want to talk about, but we'll talk about it at the national team level. So make sure you stick with us after a quick break.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
All right, let's stick with some international news, and we're going to still stick with Europe for a little bit, right, because we've been hovering around that continent. Let's stay with Europe. Let's talk a little bit about France. We've got to keep up with the updates as they come, because although nothing is official yet for the new manager of the France women's national team, there is still the ongoing speculation and rumors tied to Herve Renard. Apparently, he has left his post of the Saudi Arabia men's national team. And there's a lot of indication saying that this means that he's going to pivot to France and take the manager role there. So there has been a member of the Saudi Arabia Football Association who is quoted as saying that Renard is determined to return to France to take over a national team. And a second source added that the Saudi Arabia Federation has accepted his resignation. So a national team, there's been a lot of connection to the women's team. And there's a possibility that his official title can be announced somewhat soon. I mean, it's got to happen sooner rather than later, right, at this point?
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like we're just waiting for this announcement to come. And I think that for people waiting for this and wondering if and when it's going to happen, this was really the first step, right? He had to leave his current coaching position in Saudi Arabia. And now basically all of the news talking about how this was the first step and now France can hire him. But France has been through a lot, and we talked about it a little bit earlier in this episode that there's an international window. We are right about to come up on it in the second week of April. So how does this all come together before then? Because there's a lot going on there, but Saudi FA has accepted his resignation, and he wants to get back to France. He's been very vocal about that, wanting to get back and coach a national team. And now's the opportunity. So will this happen? Will it happen before the international window happens? And how is this all going to play out? Gosh. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts at this point, a lot of moving parts.
I feel like it has to. There's
if they miss this international, if France misses this international window, there are no more international windows for the World Cup.
I'm like bumbling because I'm just like, they have to. Like, I'm over here stuttering because I'm just like, there's the time is running.
Nothing like cutting it close, announcing resigning from the club team. This was yesterday, March 28th. This news came out about Renard saying that he wants to get back to France. But today, as of 11 a.m. Eastern on March 29th, Wednesday, we haven't heard anything. There hasn't been a roster drop for France. The international window is coming up.
Yeah. And, you know, everything that we've been sort of following along the way with certain national team programs that are in current disputes with their federations. I mean, Canada, we were just talking about their playing in protest during She Believes Cup in the February international window. And something that was that came out of that was the announcement of their next friendly. So that they were supposed to go to France and play against France. And it was going to be, I think, over the two potential matches that you can have. Beth Priestman saying they were going to keep it to one match. They wanted to have the experience of travel and team bonding and have one solid match against another top-ranked team in order for the preparation to really get cranked up in the build-up to the World Cup. And since then, there's been like respective ongoing disputes between players and their federations, right? So I would imagine for France, they are going to announce Renard sometime soon so that he can be on the sideline or with this team as they approach this April window. And I would imagine that this friendly is still scheduled to take place because we haven't heard otherwise. So we'll keep an eye on that for sure. But it's not just France and Canada with matches over this next international window coming up in April, and it's not just United States and Ireland. We want to chat about some other cool things happening during this time. We want to talk about a little bit of a crossover because, listen, we love a collab. We're big, big fans. Mexico and the NWSL are going to compete during this international window. Mexico women's national team going on a bit of a tour of their own, coming to the United States, and they will face off against the Houston Dash on April 11th, and they will face off against Chicago Red Stars on Saturday, April the 8th. So excited for this news. I think I'm going to keep my eye on the Dash because they've got a couple of dual nationals on that team. I think that's sort of the joke that's coming out of this as these friendlies were announced. People are like, well, who is going to play for Mexico and who's going to play for the Dash? It's Maria Sanchez and Diana Ordóñez, right? Like, how's that going to look? So we'll see.
I think we haven't heard yet. That's another roster we're waiting for.
We'll see. We'll see. It's gonna drop, and we'll maybe get a little bit of surprises there. But
I wouldn't be surprised if both Sanchez and Ordóñez stay with Houston, just because Mexico's not going to the World Cup. Sorry, you brought up Marquette earlier. I gotta throw that one back.
Gotta throw it out there. I get it.
For them, like as a player, it might behoove them to stay with their club team, get a little bit more consistency there, establish themselves, you know. But hey, you never know. You never know. It's always a good opportunity. But this Mextour W is very cool that the partnership is announced and it's all kind of happening. Will you be at the game in Chicago?
I don't know. There's a United States Women's National Team game that's happening not too far from me in St. Louis. And, you know, the Midwestern in me says a five-hour drive? That's nothing. So we'll see. Stay tuned.
Makes my stomach turn a five-hour drive.
Stay tuned. I'll let you and the people know what's going on there. But I've got options, and that's nice to know. We've got more matches coming up, though, in the April window. We've got some pretty big ones. I love that we're going to get an eye on so many top tier national team programs kind of going head to head against each other. We're going to see England against Brazil and Australia. We're going to see Germany against Brazil and the Netherlands. We're also going to see Japan, Portugal, Denmark. So I'm looking forward to this. I think for the roster drop that happened with the United States Women's National Team the other day, and sort of noting how, hey, this is going to be the final matches for the U.S. Women's National Team before the final World Cup roster is dropped. I don't just think that's the United States. I think you can look across the board and say that that's going to be true for many of these national teams. So this is going to be the last window of opportunity, at least at the international level, for a lot of these players to sort of leave that impression, leave that mark on their coaching staff, and to make things difficult for the coaching staff when they're trying to finalize the 23 players who have to go to the World Cup this summer. So obviously the combination of this window and extended club play are going to, you know, matter the form for some of these national team head coaches. So I'm eager to see some of the individual performances that that might break out of here.
Yeah, it's very exciting. There's definitely a lot of football to watch. In, of course, addition to all the U.S. games that we'll be watching, previewing, recapping right here on Attacking Third, I'm really excited to watch Brazil play against England, against what the Lionesses can do there. And then Brazil also gets to play against Germany. I love it that there's like a little bit of a round robin happening between a couple of different nations, because England won't play Germany, but they will play against Australia. And Brazil will also play against the Netherlands, another team that England will not play against. But interesting. I like how this is all shaken out and we get to watch it all happen. And of course, the United States play against Ireland, World Cup debutantes. Those will be good ones to tune into as well.
Yeah, I think it's cool that we're going through these as like FIFA just announced their updated rankings for, you know, the upcoming World Cup. It's United States is still number one. There was no changes between one and five in terms of the top teams. But Australia did crack back into the top 10. So if there's other games that I'm eager to maybe try to keep an eye on, it might be England and Australia. I'm kind of looking forward to see how those two teams kind of match up against each other. But there's a lot of good ones here. So I'm sure folks will try to, you know, figure out the right time and right place and method to go ahead and tune in to some of these matches. And of course, we'll likely chat about the results of them as well. But that's it from us today in terms of all of the news and notes that we're talking about for across the globe and NWSL as well. The NWSL is going to be back for week two action. So make sure you tune in with us when we do a full preview of all of the week two matches. Thank you all so much for listening to Attacking Third. Download, follow, and listen to us anywhere you get your podcast. You can watch us too. Subscribe on YouTube at youtube.com/attackingthird. And we'll be back with a full NWSL preview this week. Make sure you tune in live. You got to subscribe for that to know when we go live. And we're going to be early this week, Thursday morning, 9:30 a.m. ET. So tune in, wake up, grab your coffee, and join us. For Sandra Herrera and Lisa Roman, this was Attacking Third.
The wait is over. The Chi returns with new episodes on Paramount Plus.
What brings you to the show?
Opportunity.
Everybody get down!
Walk right up to the side.
A new rain is coming to the South Side.
Never should have sent a boy to do a woman's job.
The Chi. New episodes May 10th. Visit ParamountPlus.com/The Chi to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. Subscription auto renews. Restrictions apply.